see in Genesis 2, 18 to 25, who was created first? Man was created first. And the woman was created to assist and to help him. And so, ladies, if you are interested to one day be married, you feel that that is the calling that God has given to you, start right now, whether be in Ebenezer or Shomim, start right now to learn to have a submissive spirit, a meek and quiet spirit. Because that is what the Lord will be calling you next time in your life, right? To live your life in submission to this person whom you will call husband. And that is why also before you get married, you better be very, very careful. Like get the boy-girl relationship, better look carefully at the boy. Don't just look at the boy, well, very handsome, very what, well, very cute, well, can talk all manners of jokes, well, like very intelligent, well, play music instrument also so nice, well, play basketball also can jump like LeBron James, well, kick soccer can also kick like Cristiano Ronaldo, well, perfect. Then you look carefully at the man. Hey, next time, let's say he get old, then instead of kicking like Cristiano Ronaldo, kick like, don't kick like who? Cannot kick anymore. Cannot throw basketball anymore. All wrinkles. You sure you want to submit to this man? You sure? You better examine very carefully, because remember, you submit to, once you walk down the aisle, you exchange your vows, you exchange your rings. That's it. Lifelong commitment. Same for the man. You look at this woman, wow, she's the angel, no? Wow, during the courting stage. Wow. She's the angel of my life. Her voice is so sweet. Wherever I sleep, I dream of her. Wow. Wake up, I also dream of her. Wow, go everywhere, I also dream of her. Better look very carefully, because this woman will also one day get old. You sure you want to be wholly committed to this woman all your life? Remember, till death do us part. Okay? So, take note of all these things. So, woman, you are supposed to submit to the man. So, even right now, when you are single, practice this kind of meek and quiet spirit, and submissive spirit in the church. Now, if a woman in the church is not willing to submit to, for example, male leadership, of course, there will be times whereby, for example, you are a Sunday school teacher, of course, you have to lead a class. In certain areas, right, within your domain, of course, you can lead. But in other areas whereby it's clearly reserved for male leadership and you want to take over and you want to lead, guarantee next time in the family, you will also have problems. It shouldn't be the other way around. Like, God's order is not for the woman to wear the pants and for the man to wear the skirt. The other way is also important. Men, please do not be skirt wearers. In other words, men, if you really want a wife to be a submissive wife, then you better cultivate spiritual leadership right now. To be steady, to be sober, to be mature, to learn how to take the initiative, to lead people in good and godly actions and decisions. You have to learn right now. Not live your life like, of course, some of you are still boys. Please continue to enjoy your boyhood. I'm not asking you all to straight away be a man, but along the way, please learn. Then learn. Then when you must be a mature, steady man, able to be independent, then the Lord will lead a lady that is submissive into your life. Otherwise, you have it the other way around, your family is going to be in trouble. Okay, so understand this. Okay? And you can restate this in these following ways. Right? This statement, I have adopted it from my pastor, right? Dr. Jeffrey Koo. Very succinct. Firstly, the husband is the leader, the wife is the helper. As mentioned before, right, in the church there is this principle of male headship. That is what you can find in 1 Corinthians 11:3 and 1 Timothy 2:12-13 also. whereby in terms of the church authority give teaching and preaching reserved for the men, women to keep silent. This is not to say that the woman is any less equal than men. This is in terms of function. This is the function which the Lord has set. So please understand this, okay? And what it means also is this: if your wife is to be your helper and the husband is to be the leader, and together they are to do the will of the Lord, then please consider this question. Now, you look under questions to ponder. I don't think we have time to go through these questions to ponder here, but you can ponder, and then if you have any questions, you can ask. We have a Q&A, right, Bunhao? Yeah, on the last day. All these things can be asked under the Q&A. You can also ask Joshua. Yeah, you can ask either me or Joshua, right? I think for this, you can ask me. Well, the wife is the helper. Now, the wife is to help you. If your wife is of a different doctrinal persuasion, let's say one is, you are Bible Presbyterian and you are convicted to it, but your wife is, let's say for example, she is charismatic. Do you think that there will be problem? Of course. Of course there will be problem. Once you even come to church to serve, already the way of thinking is different. Hey, you are the worship leader. Why must you chair the worship in this way? Or why must you play the piano in this way? Or why can't it be any singing and dancing or what? Why can't it be any speaking in tongues? Then after a while, either one party must give way. Otherwise, there will be no peace at home. So in fact, before you get married, you should already make sure that the person is more than willing to embrace the doctrinal position, and best is the wife follow the husband. Although, of course, sometimes in special case, the Lord may lead the husband to serve in the wife's church, especially sometimes when it comes to the work of Lord missions. The wife may be serving in a church where there is a great need, and the husband can help supplement this church with relevant gifts, so the Lord may call the husband to go to the wife's church. So that is, but by and large, in general, the wife should follow the husband. Then better make sure that both have a similar doctrinal persuasion. And remember, doctrine also detects practice at home. Once you have different doctrinal persuasion, in fact, you don't even need to wait until marriage to occur. Maybe even during the preparation for marriage, organizing the marriage ceremony, there may be issues. And there will be clashes, and then there will be a lot of stress. So, please understand, right, with regards to doctrine, right, doctrinal compatibility. So, both parties must be willing to embrace each one another's doctrines as similar as possible. We are not talking, for example, like pre-trip or mid-trip kind of things. No, we are not talking about this. Right, talking about, right, with regards to the fundamentals of the faith. For the, if getting married to a BP church, well, they must be pre-millennial and reform. Of course, right, when you talk about getting married, the basis of getting married is the two persons must be born again. Talking about that, better make sure that your spouse is born again. Don't just because the spouse says that it's a Christian means confirmed born again. You better make sure, you better know how your spouse is born again. That was the question asked quite a few couples recently. Got caught out, but better make sure born again But later you get married, then find out, hey, actually, my husband not born again. Now finally revealed. Then it's a disaster. So all these things are very, very practical things. Yes, of course, get married together, firstly born again. But then remember there are other practical issues to take note. So you want to get married to this lady, let's say, want to come to the church, or you are a lady, you want to get married to this man. As a lady getting married to this man, are you ready to embrace the practices of the church in which you are going to go to, the doctrines of that church? You have to ask yourself that question. Then with regards to a woman, let's say, falling to a man's church, and the man also has to ask, right, is this lady whom I'm marrying willing to also learn and to submit, right, to the doctrines of the church? And let's make this very clear down here. Of course, getting married is whether two people are born again. So let's say, if God willing, next time somebody asks me to officiate a wedding, I still cannot officiate any wedding because I need to apply for a cert and I'm not sure how long it will take. Of course, if born again, not a problem, and I will marry the person if the person is has intention to join the BB church, I follow husband to join the BB church, or the husband willing to follow the wife to join a BB church. Or perhaps if a couple is from a Bible believing church, like two Bible believing, I ask emergency conduct a wedding. Yeah, okay, not a problem. Bible believing. But getting married is one thing. Remember, church membership is another thing. When it comes to church membership, we will only accept those who are in line with the doctrines of the church, because that's what it means to be a member of the church and willing to serve in the church also. So if later on it's revealed one of the person is not in line with the church doctrine, perhaps it's not a Calvinist, it's an Arminian, or is a charismatic, yes, they may be married, but it's not automatic acceptance into the church. Please understand this, it's not a rubber stamp. Okay, so take note. So all these things is important. Husband is the leader, wife is the helper. It also means that the husband must be the one to take the lead in terms of spiritual things, to teach the wife spiritual things. Then, the second point, also important. The husband is the provider, the wife is the homemaker. How do we know this? Right, turn with me to 1 Timothy 5:8. So women, you get married, you be prepared. You should be ready to stay at home when the time comes. And the home is your domain. Husband, your domain is to provide for the family. And this is taught in the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And here God's word says, but if any provide not for his own, and take note of the pronoun, okay, his. Okay, his own. So it's the man. And especially of those of his own house, he have denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Okay? So the man provides. So men, please go to work. Bring in the food for the family. And of course, you also lead in terms of spiritual things. So take note of this. Then, with regards to the woman, you look at verse 14 of the same chapter. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. So, right, ladies, you should also teach your children. Men also, of course, should teach your children. But women, you also teach your children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Right. So, this is the domain of the woman. And if that is not enough, turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Right, Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Let's start with verse 3 first, aged women. Okay, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teacher of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, take note, right, so not only to submit to their husband, but to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, and take note, keepers at home. Like this is in God's word. Women, keep us at home. It's not part under the man, it's part under the woman. Aged woman, please teach the younger woman to be keepers at home. And if the aged women are not keepers at home themselves, how are they able to teach the young woman to be keepers at home? And so therefore, dear ladies, if let's say you want to be married, desire to be married, you must be prepared, especially when children come, that you should stay in your own home and look after your children. At least till they are of the age whereby they are able to be independent. Independent in the sense that, oh, for example, if let's say the children, both children, let's say university, right, one at university, tertiary institute, can look after themselves. Then now at home, you have some time, you may want to earn a little bit of income. That is your own prerogative. But at least when they are little children, please stay at home. Stay at home. This should be the way. Keep us at home. This is what the Bible says. That is your duty. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So you have to ask yourself, are you ready for this? If you are a type of personality that you are not ready to stay at home and to look after children, then perhaps marriage is not for you. Because that will be your duty. See, so take note of this. Next, lastly, husband is the lover, the wife is the follower. Okay, turn to Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 33. We have said a lot about the women. Now let's look at the husband. Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 33. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in, take note, in everything. Okay, as long as it's not contrary to God's word, in everything. You want the house to be pink, the husband wants the wife to be blue. How? If after discussion, come together, in the end, the husband says, really, I really think that the master bedroom should be blue. Oh, blue. Okay? But I think husband and wife, you will be wise to know how to work out your own solution. Okay? So take note. Then, husbands. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, is the husband supposed to help the wife? Yes, of course, the husband is supposed to help the wife because here the Bible says, husband, love your wives. And just now in the morning, we have already learned about what is love, isn't it? Right? The earlier message, right? Loving God. Just like how God loves you, how God loves the church. So you are also to love your wife. Love your wife unconditionally. You give yourself totally to her. So that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So in other words, you choose not to love your wife, you are actually hating yourself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Take note, nourisheth and cherisheth, but you cherish your wife very dearly, you regard her as the one companion of your life. And after that, therefore, you nourish her. And what we mean by nourish her is, you make sure that you provide for her in terms of her physical, in terms of her emotional, and also in terms of her spiritual needs. Physical, emotional, spiritual. Everything you provide, because you give of yourself to her. You are willing to die for her. The one person you are supposed to die for first in your entire life would have to be your wife. Of course, as Christians, we give up our life one to another. That is true. But if there is one person which you should die for the first, it must be your wife. That is the extent of the devotion of your love for her. Because you love her as your own self, as your own body. And so therefore, yes, although the statement is, Eve was made to be a helpmeet for Adam and not Adam for Eve. Please take note, it doesn't mean that Adam should not help Eve. It doesn't mean that the husband should not help the wife. Because the Bible says, husband, you love your wife. You love your wife. And so, and we know that this love is always love in the truth, love according to the scriptures. It's not just the passionate kind of lust, burning for the woman. Please, not just that. So, if you are not ready for this, please do not enter into the marriage covenant. Please, please, please do not. And concentrate on being a mature Christian, grow in the faith. And once you grow in the faith, when you are ready, the Lord will bring that person to you. And once you know that person, please don't delay. Some people want to delay. Oh, you know, not enough finances. So they say, so they go to a financial planner. And some marriage counselor also do the same thing. Hey, how many finances you need? Plan. Oh, you need this particular amount. So they say, now I need this particular amount before I can get married. Then after that, they hit this particular amount. They say, inflation. So now, inflation, this is the amount last time. Now it should be another amount. Then they wait another few years at inflation. How many years on inflation you want? Then they never get married after that. Because wait for too long, fall into sin. Because now their passion burn and they cannot handle anymore. Let's trust in the Lord. I get married. You know there's lots of for you to get married, and then I serve as husband and wife together, and together you can put 10,000 to flight. Right, so take note of all these things. And so questions to ponder down here. Please take note, especially for the first one. How does one know whether he or she is ready for marriage? You go back and you ponder on your own. Okay? And especially some of you here who are eager to get married, you should ponder on this question. For some of you, it could be because, yes, you are not ready for marriage, that's why the Lord delay. Some of you could be a testing of faith, so that when the Lord brings the one into your life, you know, this is so precious. Or some of you, it could really be because you're called to be single. Either way, the Lord's will is always the best, isn't it? God's will is the best. So ponder and pray about these things. Okay, right now, something that is very practical. Because we have two weddings coming soon and possibly many, many more. And it is not common for Tabernacle to have marriages like once in very long. But looks like it's going to be a lot very soon. And because even Ebenezer, I look at all of you, right now, some of you, very soon, within 2 or 3 or 4 years, you are also going to be marriageable age. And some of you here also, you know some of your friends outside, you may be called to help. Some of you may be approached to be wedding coordinators. What exactly to do, what exactly to take note, according to the theology of scriptures. So take note of all these things, okay? Having said that, please remember, wedding ceremony, do not overemphasize it. It's an important day whereby, you will exchange your vows and then the people will get to witness. But don't complicate matters so much until you are so stressed. And then after that, you take all your wedding pictures and then later when you get married, you realize you are not looking at it. Right, those who get married, how often do you look at your wedding pictures? Sharon already, what wedding pictures? Maybe only the one that hangs at the bedroom, right? So take note, okay? This is actually taken from Calvi Pandan's wedding guidebook. So those of you who are planning to get married, you should read the guidebook very carefully. I just want to point out some relevant things for everyone down here to take note. Number one, decoration of premises. Take note of the typo error. It's not decoration of premise. A premise is nothing to do with the facilities of the area. Premise, okay, let me look at the definition of premise in, right, in English, right? Not premises, premise means a previous statement or proposition from which another is inferred or follows as a conclusion, right? In other words, this is something in which you base an argument on. Okay, so take note, declaration of premises. So please add the word as. Premises, collective noun. Okay? The school premises, not the school premise. School premise is the argument for why you need a school. Okay? Although taking GPR, please take note. Okay? Decoration should be preferably done the night before all these things now. The point B is important. Keep decorations simple and modest. Actually, I promised Shamin I don't want to ask her questions, but looks like... Okay. Let me not ask Shamin, okay? Let me ask some other who are old enough to help. Okay, let me ask FEBC students. Okay, Kevin, why? Yes, shouldn't draw attention away from the decoration. The focus should be the couple. The focus should, of course, be on God. Couple in the sense of the exchange of the vows. Right? God should, in the end, be the one to be glorified. But when you have a lot of decorations, everybody will be concentrating on the decorations. Nobody will be concentrating on the vows that will be to exchange. Okay, so take note, okay? Focus should be on the ceremony. Okay, on the couple and the holy matrimony. So take note. Then the rest... Please, right, do the decoration such that you do not spoil the pews. For example, here, Kari Pandan demands no double-sided tape for obvious reason. For example, if I use double-sided tape on the pew down here, and let's say it's very sticky, I may just peel off the pew, then you will damage it. So just take note, okay? So don't do your decoration such that you will damage the sanctuary. Right? So all these things is to be considerate. Biblical principle, to be considerate. The premises belong unto the Lord. The premises belong to another church. Please keep the church in good condition. Music, another time, next time, perhaps then we talk about it. Okay, duties of wedding helpers. It is highly recommended that if you are getting married, that you should have a wedding coordinator. The reason is simple. This wedding coordinator will be the one point of contact. He will be the one to make sure that both the life of the bride and the groom is stress-free. He will then facilitate all the rest of the helpers down here to make sure everything is done properly. Also, this person should be one that is spiritually minded, has one that is the gift of administration, and one that is able to handle emergency, because there is always a possibility that on the day of the wedding, emergencies can occur. Now, this is where I like to share a personal testimony of mine. When Yuji and I got married, on the day of the wedding ceremony, there were actually a lot of hiccups. Just two of the hiccups I like to mention. Actually, not really hiccups. There was something that happened, but because the wedding coordinator was someone who was mature, very experienced, and he really handled everything, that some of these things we do not know until it happened. Everything was over, then we know. Number one, my parents, when they were on the way to church, the tire of their car was punctured. So they had to go and change the tire someplace, emergency. And I did not know everything. And then I look at the church, everybody looks so cool and calm. Wedding coordinator even don't want to make me panic, didn't mention anything, and just very cool, calm. And finally, my parents came. He had the disposition that everything was in the Lord's control. Imagine if the wedding coordinator is one that he comes up, hey, Clement, your parents are, wow, the tire punctured, everything, you see? But he had the spiritual maturity, and then he handled everything. Like, he was in contact with my parents, handled everything very smoothly. Right, so that is one thing which he did. Second thing which he did was the PA crew that was supposed to be there to play the music and to handle the mic the person did not turn up. For some reason, did not turn up. I know the reason, I don't want to say down here. It's not so nice. But did not turn up. This is the person that went for rehearsal and everything, but the person did not turn up, you know. So he arranged everything. He went to find alternate PA arrangement. And in the end, everything went out smoothly. Wedding coordinator. Okay, so take note, the importance of the wedding coordinator. Okay, make sure everything is stress-free for the groom and the bride. And bride, you'll probably have your bridesmaid. Bridesmaid, please, you are not to just stand there and especially the one that follow and do nothing. Bridesmaid, when the bride walk and then the dress is moving here and there and then hindering the bridesmaid, please be around to help the gown, right? To be steady. Okay, the groom, yes, of course, his responsibility to do it also, but likely the groom on that day, he's so nervous until his mind is blank. So, just in case the mind is blank, please be there to help, make sure everything is smooth. Okay? So, bridesmaid, all these things, the bride will be under your care. Receptionist. Basically, collect all ampaos from gifts from families and friends of the bridal couple. So, right? Hand out a wedding program sheets, right? And then the ampao box, find someone, right? One of the receptionists must be someone who is very trustworthy, able to keep the money, not the blah blah type, leave the money box somewhere and then disappear, okay? So take note of it. Also, please find receptionists that can greet people with a smile. Some people are just not natural in smiling, right? For example, I cannot be a good receptionist because I look very fierce. True, I look very fierce. You find someone that is, well, natural disposition is, somehow the Lord make the person look very friendly, and is very friendly and very Christ-like in their demeanor. And that would be the best person to be the receptionist. Because the person who has the first contact with the people will be, number one, the carpark marshal. So all this is very important. Carpark marshal also smile. Carpark, the ushers also smile. The receptionist also smile. That is the first contact. If one of them have an issue with all these people, well, that's it, man. They all come in, supposed to be a testimony for Christ, come in already your relative space and all your visitors all, what Christ-like wedding, right? All the testimonies for it. So take note, right? It's a receptionist. Take note, page 5. This is Pandan's recommendation. It's also my conviction. Okay, on page 13. Wedding pictures album should not be displayed prior to the holy matrimony as it presumes that the couple has already been married. Okay, so take note. And even then, I would recommend that I know some churches, their conviction is you shouldn't even take wedding pictures. For me, I allow wedding pictures to be taken. But I do think that when you take your wedding pictures, there are certain postures you know that should only be reserved for husband and wife. Please try not to have those postures. Like for us, they wanted us to wear the ring. We did not want to wear the ring. Why? Because for your husband and wife, take picture with ring or what? They wanted us to put on. No, cannot. You're not your husband and wife. So take note of all these things, okay? Also, tea ceremony. Right? Tea ceremony is one that, if you study the Chinese tradition, is gesture whereby one is accepted as a married couple already into the family. If your tea ceremony is conducted before the church wedding itself, it will mean that you're already husband and wife. So all these Chinese customs, you have to be very, very careful. Okay, you pray and then you study the scriptures and do what is right. Okay, carpark marshals, important. Carpark marshals, please be there early. Okay, don't be late. If you are late, you are going to ruin the bride and the groom's wedding, because nobody will direct the parking. Everything will be all upside down. Everybody will park where they want, right? So carpark marshals, please be there, please be friendly, please make sure that there is cars are properly parked. Please also make sure that the following spaces are reserved. Number one, parking space should be reserved for, of course, the bridal car. I've seen before the bridal car. They remember to reserve for all except the bridal car. I do not know. Do not know why. Okay, so take note. Right? Definitely bridal car, number one, of course, you better reserve. Number two, the parents of both sides, their caste, they should have a lord. Number three, officiating minister. Please make sure he has a lord. If the officiating minister comes and he has nowhere to park, or he has to park so far away. Now, of course, the officiating minister, he should be a humble man willing to serve. Even in such circumstances, he should be willing to conduct the wedding. But at the same time, it speaks a lot about our, as a church, right? Because it's, let's say, for example, conducted by Tabernacle. It speaks a lot about our church. Respect and honor for those who are called to be the ministers of God's word. Right? So make sure that that slot is reserved. One, for the officiating minister, and make sure that it is close to the parents' car. Because that is, basically the message is, this is the person whom God has appointed to officiate the wedding. By honoring the person, you're honoring who? You're honoring God. Okay? And don't give ampao. There is ever a time, in Reverend Toh's time, whereby the people give the... And these people were very rich. They earned five figures. They give the ampao to Reverend Toh. So we're not talking about people who are poor. Okay? People who are poor, they give a little, you understand. But sometimes the irony is that people who are poor, they give of their all. They're rich, but they give Reverend Toh ampao $2. Now, of course, you don't serve for... Nobody officiate a wedding for money. But imagine if the officiating minister come and then $2. What are you trying to say? He's just for hire, right? $2. Right? So all these things must take note. So cover spacing. And one more important thing is that whoever is driving the church van, make sure that the church van has a proper space. You do not want the church van to be parked somewhere at the back. Because people come, people see, hey, the church van is here. Straight away, they may have the misconception that the bride and the groom or whoever is the car park marshal has simply no respect for the church in which they are called to serve. In other words, you have no respect for where God has called you to bear testimony. Okay, so all these things, please make sure. Reserve in a good and proper place. Catering also, make sure that the caterer has the space to go. This is a very common error, okay, caterer. So please take note, okay, this... Make sure there is space, okay? There is one, if you are using pandan, it will be one spot whereby it is close to the, there is a yellow box down there. You may want to preserve that space for the van. Okay, so take note. Next, ushers. Ensure that there are sufficient ushers on the first and second floors. Okay, so ushers, please do your duties to direct the people to the sanctuary. Don't make sure that they don't dilly-dally outside because it can block the passageway. And then once inside, please direct the guests to sit in the first few rows first, because the tendency of men, you know, right? The tendency of men is they like to sit where? Okay, not men, Singaporeans. Like to sit where? Singaporeans like to sit at the back, right? Correct? No? You just look at the Sunday school class, you know lah. Right, Sunday school class, right, when Sunday school class all sit at the back, right? Or when Samuel Joseph came and preached, right, you all also sat at the back. So tendency of men is want to sit at the back because Singaporeans somehow naturally shy, they don't want to sit in front. But when you have, especially if the church sanctuary is not packed, then it will look very scattered, and then it will look very messy everywhere, and then it will mean that the speaker will have to project the voice all the way to the back. It doesn't look nice. So pack everybody to the front first, sit row by row, row by row. Right, of course, make sure that there are spaces reserved for the parents, right, of both sides, and then after that the rest. Okay, so ushers, this will be your duty. And please also make sure that if there are any emergency, for example, if there is anybody in the wheelchair or whatever need assistance, you should be there to help. And that's where ushers, you need to be people with that spiritual sense to look out for any problems that are in the sanctuary. It is your domain. Don't just sit there, smile. Yeah, of course, smile is important. Don't just smile. Then, when people need direction, you don't give. You must be there to direct. Okay? So please take note. Master of ceremony, self-explanatory. Food coordinator, yes, you are the contact for the caterer, very important. Recommended for those who are involved in this ministry, please help the couple to arrange firstly tables for the parents, right, to be able to sit down. Please look and see if there are any elderly, any children, let them go first. And also, you may want to consider this. Because what often will happen during the wedding ceremony is that the parents of both sides and the couple, they will not have the opportunity to eat food. So the one that is the food coordinator, you may want to either do it yourself or assign someone to take the food from the catering line and then to keep it and reserve so that after the ceremony is over, at least the couple won't go back hungry. The parents won't go back hungry. Right, all these things are important. Look out for all these things, okay? PA crew, please do not assume that the PA crew of the church knows everything, even though they should. But please do not assume, because sometimes there may be new people who take part in the ministry. Even if they are trained, sometimes maybe the first time they may be very nervous. So you may want to make sure all this, right, that they know their jobs properly. For Kari Pandan, there are wireless microphones available. You may want to request for them. Okay? Page boy and flower girl. Of course, be in church early, rehearse if necessary, and would recommend that you choose those that are ready and mature enough to walk down. Okay, because otherwise, if they are not ready and mature to walk down, they are very stressed. Then in the end, they are not able to walk. Firstly, the parents will also feel very sad, right? Because they, of course, would want their children to walk, but they will feel guilty, and we do not want that to happen. And also, secondly, it could lead to certain situations during the walk-in. So, please pray, right, with regards to your page boy and flower girl. And please also check the position of the ring, okay? Especially if who's the best man. Whoever is the best man, please make sure, double-check carefully the ring placed on the pillow. Because there are cases before where they assume that the ring is placed on the pillow and then after that pass to the officiating minister. Hey, where is the ring? Only the pillow. Okay? So all these things though, the pillow, and then best man also remember to take the IC from the bride and the groom. Otherwise, they sign everything, but after that, they're still not officially man and husband and wife. Why? Because no, they may be the husband and wife in the eyes of the Lord, but in the land they are not husband and wife because they don't have IC. You need the IC, right, to be placed there in order to sign the marriage cert. Okay, so all these things, please take note, okay? Then the rest, I leave it to your translator, yes. Find a good translator. I think you all know who to find. Clean up team. Okay, Tabernacle, yes. I noticed that you all have been responsible to clean up the place, which is good, and I hope that will stay. Okay, that's it. Exactly 2 hours. Any question? You can ask questions now. I am very ready to answer. I've got Boon Hao says this is the time to ask questions. Yes, Boon Hao! Boon Hao leads by example. What do you mean by bridesmaid walking down the aisle? As in what way? To me, you can do anything that you want. For me, I prefer things to be simple. Some people, they... Also can. To be frank, yeah, that is the simplest. You know, when it comes to the wedding, what is the most necessary is what? The bride walk down with the... I mean, if she has a father. Sometimes there is no father, then the guardian will walk down. That is the most important. But I think in our tradition, you know, if you want to have a page boy, a flower girl to walk down, by all means walk, there's nothing wrong with it. Right? As long as the music played is suitable, right? It is a wedding march. Take note, it's a wedding march. Both are important. Wedding march, so march has the sense of the music being suitably grand because, right, when husband and wife exchange vows, the picture is that of the bride, right? Or rather church and Christ, right? So should be something suitably grand. But at the same time, it's called a wedding march. It's not any type of march. So don't play songs like Onward Christian Soldiers. Marching on to war. Wow, that is called war song. Not suitable. It is definitely a faithful Christian song, but not suitable for wedding march. So please don't, okay? Take note of all these things. Then practice and walk accordingly, right? In a stately way, lah. In a stately way. So choice of if there is a flower boy and flower girl and peach boy, I please choose one that is suitable. Don't need 5 or 6 bridesmaids walking down. And very long. Then the people playing the piano also. 1, 2, 3. Number 1 already. I don't know. And finally realize, the bride coming already. Then they have to end. Right? So all these things are practical considerations. So you may want to, you can have some, but keep it simple. That will be a recommendation. This is recommendation, okay? I need to state recommendation. In the end, you all pray with regards to all these things. What is dogma, I will also state. Dogma will be, for example, wedding gown. Shouldn't expose, right, so much. Right? You don't want to expose your flesh. Okay. Some more questions? Yes, some more. Okay. Christian, sorry again, Christian what service? Christian dating services. Who is the divine matchmaker? I am very skeptical of Christian dating services because they claim to be the matchmaker, take the place of the matchmaker, and I think that that is not the place for us to take. Of course, you know, sometimes we see two couples very compatible, we may be tempted to put them together, but in the end, I would think that, you know, as I was sitting there talking with Joshua just now, I make it clear to Joshua, I do not want to be a divine matchmaker for anyone. I don't want to be a matchmaker for anyone because you can put two together, but may not be God's choice. So, Christian dating service, what kind of principles do they use to put two and two together? Are these scriptural principles? Do they gather everybody and have a time of Bible study like a fellowship group? Actually, there is one Christian dating ministry. It's not a dating, actually it should be courtship. Dating is a concept of the world. But there is one Christian marriage ministry that seems to be very successful. Do you know which one is it? You're very familiar. It's called Fundamental Christian Ministry. It may also be called Fundamental Christian Marriage. Right, Paul? Do you know her? No, I don't know her from there. But some, there are quite a number of Christians out there and Christian leaders who actually found one another in Fundamental Christian Ministry. It's actually a Bible study in tertiary institutions. And because they go into the kind of environment and it's a place where naturally you meet with godly Christians. Right, so right, the Lord, right, bring all these people together in God's good timing, right? They become husband and wife. So there's no need for Christian dating services. If you want to truly know who the Lord has in store for you, attend fellowship groups, serve the Lord faithfully, in God's due time, it will come. Don't try and take matters in your own hands. Dating services, what is it that they use? They seem to be opposite. So opposite attract. Do you find that in the Bible? Opposites attract? Or, they have the same hobby, so similar attract. Do you also find that in the Bible? No? This man is taller than this girl, okay. So therefore they can go together. You mean if the lady is taller than the boy, cannot get married? then I think I cannot get married because my wife is taller than me. Right? What kind of principles do they use? And this also goes for young people. When you want to find a spouse, what kind of principles you use? That is also important. Okay, so take note of all these things. Look, although it's stated here that FCM is a place whereby a lot of couples get married, it's also a stress to those who attend FCM. Matthias can attest to that. I can tell them, yes, although many get married there, please do not join FCM because you want to find a spouse. You are joining FCM because you want to know about God's Word. Then when you know God's Word, God will slowly lead you to your spouse. Right, that is the key. So even if you go for overseas mission trip, you go for other church camp, please make sure that it is for that purpose. You want to learn God's Word. Or perhaps you have opportunity to see how other church camps are run, and then you want to learn, and perhaps there may be certain things that are good and useful, you want to bring it and adopt it in the ministry. That should be the reason why you go. Shouldn't be any other reason. Okay? So please be very... I want to clarify this. Okay? Yes? How come you ask the same question Joshua asked me on the way here? House husband, right? What does the scripture say in Titus? Aged men teach the young men to be keepers at home. Is that what it says in the scriptures, or it says that aged women teach the young women to be keepers at home? That answers the question. Just follow the scriptures. And see, Sarah is so full of agreement. Just go according to the scriptures, right? And everything will be well. Okay, if not, we will close because I think you are looking forward to your games. Right? Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please guard the young people here, especially from the deadly attractions of this world. That they will all truly be committed to thy word, they will all truly be committed to Christ. Most importantly, Father, we pray that everyone gathered here, down here today, may truly be born again. That they will know thee personally as their Lord and Savior. So as we dismiss from here, we pray that you will grant Tabernacle godly families, that Tabernacle BP Church will truly be a congregation which seeks to glorify thee in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.